It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hi there, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Jane Applegate. She's a former journalist and a nationally known small business expert and author, and we're going to talk to her about the Martha Stewart model. No, not the part where you're wearing an orange jumpsuit, but the Martha Stewart business model and what it means for your small business. So stay tuned for that. You know, as I think about what Jane is going to share with us today, Benjamin Franklin said, never confuse motion with action. And, I know I've done it, haven't you? Where you're so busy, but are you really being productive? Or are you reinventing the wheel with a lot of your efforts? Can you find other uses for what you do and how you're expressing yourself, whether it's your marketing materials, articles, or ways that you're communicating with your customers? When you're able to find ways to repurpose those things and not, again, reinvent the wheel each time, that's called leverage. That's gaining an advantage by using a tool. I mean, if you think about a crowbar, the way it's really difficult to lift that lid off the crate, but shove in the crowbar and push it down, you get that extra boost, that extra lift. And that's part of what leverage tactics can do. It's revenue that's not all about you, which is why I'm excited to have Jane come and talk to us today. I had worked with a client recently who was a sales training expert and was doing amazingly well, but realized she was just starting to reach capacity. And she thought, well, one way to get my name out there and get bigger ticket clients and bigger engagements is I'm going to write a book. Now, it's all very well and good, and there are a lot of people who have written books. In fact, another one of our guests, Don Fotopoulos, has written a book as well. And it can be wonderful, but you want to think about its place in building a business that can actually help you scale. And is it going to get you where you want to go within the time frame that you want it to take you there? So this particular client, again, who was looking to write a book, was all gung-ho about it. I've got all these great ideas, and this is what I want to put in the book. And I asked her, how much can you expect to earn money through a book? She said, well, you know, if I get an agent or I submit a manuscript and it goes through a traditional publishing house, it could be out in 12 to 18 months. And I said, so you'd need to wait about a year and a half to see any kind of financial return on this effort. She said, yeah. I said, and during those 18 months, are you getting paid for working on this book? And she said, well, you know, I might get an advance, but otherwise, no. And I said, are you going to have expenses in connection with the book before it launches? She said, oh, well, of course. I mean, I'm going to need a proofreader and I may need an illustrator. I'm going to want help transcribing when I do dictation. And there's a lot of pre-launch marketing that I... And she stopped and realized, wow, she was not going to get the leverage from the book that she necessarily wanted in the time frame that she wanted it. And that's where, again, she saw what some of the options were and shifted her model at the time. Doing big scale events was a ripe opportunity for her. And that's the direction that she moved in. And bam, within 6 months, she was doing gangbusters and really serving larger groups of people, which is what she wanted. And that's why, again, I'm excited to have our special guest this week, because she talks about what gets into that Martha Stewart model, that sense of repurposing, but also what are the foundational pieces that need to be there before you can do that. What are the ways to tell your story, which is such a powerful marketing tool? Because when you're clear on that message, you can then be crystal clear about the related opportunities that can also serve your market. So I'm happy to introduce Jane Applegate. She's one of America's most respected small business experts. She's the author of 4 books on small business success, including her 201 Great Ideas for Your Small Business. She's also a producer of television shows, marketing videos, and independent films through her creative collaborative, the Applegate Group. And she's really passionate about telling stories and working with business owners all over the country, helping them tell their stories through video and original web content as a way of attracting new business. And we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Hi, Jane. Thanks so much for being here. It's great to have you.
It's wonderful to be with you, Nina.
Terrific. And you know, we'd spoken recently about marketing and aspects of scaling a business. And certainly marketing is a really important facet of how your company is perceived, the message that you're conveying. But you're an expert, you know. What is one of the biggest marketing challenges that small business owners face?
Well, I think it's the budget, first of all. You know, people are kind of nervous about, you know, how much money. People always ask me, what percentage of revenue should we be spending on marketing? And I think you just have to go back to think of, you know, how do you reach your target audience? That's the most important thing. So if your demographic, for instance, is not all over Facebook and social media, then don't, you know, waste any time or money on that. The most important thing is matching the marketing message to your prospective clients and customers.
You know, and I've heard somebody say that you actually want to, contrary to what my mother told me, you want to play in traffic. You want to be in the channels where your clients are naturally going. You don't want to try to be pushing water uphill in a direction where they're not going to be hanging out. So that makes a lot of sense. And I find sometimes with business owners that in terms of matching the message and figuring out the budget, some of it is that they're just not clear about, you know, who they are, how they're serving. So what is it about telling your story that makes it such a powerful marketing tool and in many ways the real foundation for other marketing efforts?
Right. Well, I think, you know, small business owners have an advantage in that people like to do business with people. I always say, you know, it's the person you do business with, not the company. So the more you can differentiate yourself from the competition by telling a particularly compelling story about why you, why your business, I think that's a real secret of success.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. And I would think also that to the extent that you're able to tell that story, not just about you, but about the company, that's another piece in the scaling puzzle, because then people can feel that those warm fuzzies regarding your company, whether or not you are the public face of it.
Right. And also, I think this, you know, word of mouth is the number one small business marketing tool. Mm. And I also think, I know that testimonials are hugely important. I mean, we're just working on a project where we're collecting testimonials about a new aerial videographer. And, you know, he said to me, why do you want to know what my clients think of me? I said, because if I read from a third party that you are awesome and you're the best videographer ever, I'm going to take, you know, that seriously. So, and again, these, you know, word of mouth and client and customer testimonials cost nothing, absolutely nothing. And those are things that every business owner should be collecting avidly every week for their websites and to, you know, share them. I mean, you get permission to share the testimonial, and people love it. You shine a light on them, and then they end up, you know, reposting and retweeting, and it's just, you know, one big happy marketing event.
One big love fest, exactly.
Right.
And you know, to go back, you mentioned that one of the biggest challenges is the budget. And, you know, certainly with your background as a film and video producer, I mean, I know when I'm first thinking of video, my God, it's so expensive. You got the cameras, the lights. I need this whole entourage of people primping and preening me and making me look like a movie star. But has that changed now, given technology and that people, and when they're looking for that human contact, video can be so powerful?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I am biased, Nina, because I am a producer, but I'll say this. I mean, when people tell us, you know, we're just going to do our videos on our iPhones and we're going to, you know, edit them in iMovie. I mean, that's okay if you want to look scrappy and that you like you don't know what you're doing. So
right. Well, that's when people say to me, oh, I'll just get my contract off the internet. You'll put a stake in my heart. Why don't you?
Right. Exactly. There is a benefit of professionalism. And my specialty at the Applegate Group is, you know, we are really specialists in what we call batch production. We can produce several marketing messages or commercials or promos all in the same day with the same business owner or talent. And so because I come out of the news business, you know, where time is money and you've really got to meet deadlines, it's just so I think people would be surprised that if you work with a good writer producer and they have resources and they have a great crew and they're willing to call in favors, you can get some phenomenally, you know, high quality video. And, you know, for me, it's telling your story. It's, you know, the old thing, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Right.
you want a really, you know, awesome video on your website where it's you speaking to people directly. Or we also do an interview format. And, you know, if anyone's within range of New York City, we have a studio and this is where we've been working with clients and they're just pretty astonished at how cost effectively we can put their video messages together.
Mm-hmm. And how much do the business owners or does the company really have to have clarity on their message before they do video? Or is that something that through the video process that clarity emerges?
Well, I think, you know, no, it starts with, you know, what's the message? You know, I'm highly trained as a spokesperson and you stay on message. You pick three things that you have to get out and you'd never waver. So, you know, I'm well trained. When I did a lot of, when I was a spokesperson for Sprint, I was doing all the media and on TV all the time. And if it was live, it was great because they couldn't stop me. So, but I think as a business owner, it's kind of the distillation of your elevator pitch and just, you know, why me? Why with all the other competition, why do you want to do business with me? And that's what it is. And through the process of producing the promotional materials, you know, whether it's web, video, or we also do a lot of animation and graphics, you know, we really work with clients to just focus in on, you know, what is the unique, you know, proposition, why them? Mm-hmm. And then I just think a lot of people, when I've been doing a lot of networking since I'm back in the city now after my filmmaking adventures, but I just am still sort of astonished at how when I'll say, hi, I'm Jane, you know, what do you do? And there's still, you know, business owners in business a long time still are they can't tell me exactly what they do. And that's really scary.
and really unfortunate because when we had last spoken, I would think that understanding, that crystal clarity of your marketing and message also gives you clarity about what kinds of related opportunities might be useful or helpful for building and scaling your business. And that's where we had that discussion about the Martha Stewart model, and not the model about insider trading and spending time in an orange jumpsuit, but but how she, you know, she essentially started from, you know, being a personality and growing into a bigger company. So can you talk a little bit about how you first got exposed to that model and what exactly is it? Because you gave me that phrase, the Martha Stewart model, that I just found fascinating.
Right. And I actually just completely mimicked her model with my small business company. But it, you know, the term she coined was omnimedia. And the point is that you take the same content and you repurpose the heck out of it, whether it's the web, social media, television, radio. She had a syndicated column. So years ago, a marketing person came to me and said, you know, you could be the Martha Stewart of small business. And I remember being at the LA Times as a columnist at the time saying, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. But he put together a proposal which absolutely ended up with me having a radio show, a television show, writing 4 books, doing road shows, being a corporate spokesperson. I mean, it was just, he laid it all out and executed it. And I think, even though, I mean, I was in a different position being a journalist with books and a public, you know, facing persona, sure. I think any business owner can think about, you know, what pertinent information, what can you share? Again, you're not selling people on your products or services. The key to getting through to people with great marketing is giving them something, some information, something they can use. Mm-hmm. So for example, my radio show on CBS Network, which was, you know, running across the country for years, were just 1 minute tips. So it just was every, you know, 5 days a week, it ran several times a day, was a short business tip that was very practical, you know, ready to put to use. And people mm-hmm. loved it because wow. it was something they could listen to quickly and then put into practice. So, I think the idea of repurposing your content, you can't really make that model work unless you have good content, unless you're really telling people something that they can use. And I think no matter what your business is, you know, whether it's fashion or technology or aerospace, whatever, I mean, there's information that people can use or can be just something that's really interesting, kind of the water cooler talk.
Right. So right. Urban landscape, 12 different, you know, 20 different things you can do with a window planter.
Right. It's just whatever people will, you know, think about. It's just engaging content. And then the idea is, how can you, in an artful and creative and fun way, you know, take that content and repurpose it? And it's funny, Nina, I often tell people that the work I do, I feel like I'm a baker. So,
that's a great analogy.
the actual ingredients of the work I do, which is, you know, practical business information, inspirational and, you know, marketing tips. I tell people, you know, it's okay. You tell me, do you want muffins, a croissant, donuts, or a pie? So the form that the information takes varies, but the content, the ingredients themselves don't change.
Okay. How about chocolate chip cookies? Are you good with those?
Yes, absolutely.
Toll House chocolate chip cookies. It's wonderful to think about different ways to, as you say, repurpose the content, because when you think about, Martha did spend some time in the big house and had to step away from her company, it was still able to function because of the different ways that she had found to use this content and the different business outlets
that
it was creating as an aspect of scale for her.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Yeah. Also, you know, she also had branded products. She had, you know, product lines, and, you know, there was controversy over whether it was, I don't know, Target or Macy's or whatever she was. But she touched fans everywhere. So mm-hmm. if you didn't like her towels, maybe you liked listening to her radio show. Or if you didn't read her syndicated column, you liked her television show. She was omnipresent. Right. And because Americans are so forgiving, we love anyone that makes a comeback. So she really, you know, when she got out of prison, she really leveraged that. It was pretty remarkable. And although the magazine now is changing, it's been morphing and changing, you know, but she's been around for, I don't know, 20 some years, and she is a brand everyone knows. And I think other people, you know, can look at that model. Because the thing is, if you're going to spend the time and money in creating marketing materials or, you know, branded content, which is the big buzzword, you might as well just push it out through different channels. It's silly not to.
Mm-hmm. And I would think, though, that in order for her to have her tentacles, if you will, in so many different areas, there really has to be a consistency in that message. Going back to what you said about, you know, almost like the politician's talking points. You just keep coming back and you hammer them home so that it is a consistent message that just happens to be shared through different channels. So what needs to be in place for a small business to branch out in this way? What are some of those foundational pieces?
Well, I think, people sort of put their website up, you know, and maybe it's been there for 8 years, 10 years. Oops. I think it's really important to think about redesigning your website, maybe changing the color palette. You know, just keep it, you know, vital and interesting. People often, you know, say, well, I'm known for my logo or this or that. Take your logo and ask your designer to change up the color, you know, so it's still the same logo, but maybe it's a completely different color. And it just, again, gives you a new story to tell. And I feel like if you're going to scrimp on anything, don't scrimp on design and writing. I mean, it really is not worth it. You end up hurting your business if you have something that looks really cheesy or that, I mean, it's funny. There's now these sites where for $5, you can get a logo designed. And I've looked at some of them that people have showed me and it looks like a $5 logo. So it's great if you want to, you know, look like you just bought something from someone and, you know, way far away that, you know, bangs out logos. Great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just redid our Applegate Group site, theapplegategroup.com, and we have this beautiful new logo that's a photograph. And it's just, you know, it just makes me happy to think that, you know, that was money well spent. And right. It gave us a story to tell. We can send out notes, you know, emails saying, check out our new website. Because we have new content and there's new things there. And also, there's no excuse not to be changing content because whether you're using WordPress or Squarespace or, I mean, whatever, there's so many programs now that even I can work, you know, update my own website. So it's not like a big expense to change things. And changing things, posting new content, if not daily, at least weekly, is just essential now. You just have to keep the content fresh.
Right. You know, and your point about there are certain areas where just looking at the lowest possible price isn't always, actually, there are probably a lot of areas in business where that's not the case, but, you know, it reminds me of the story of the $6 haircut where a guy opens a barbershop in town and he's charging $10 a haircut, and a competitor comes in and he's charging $8 a haircut. So he says, oh boy, I got to lower my prices. So he lowers it to $7. And then the other guy lowers it to $6. And the first guy's scratching his head because there's no way that he's going to be able to stay in business charging less than $6 a haircut. So he had a brilliant insight in the middle of the night, and he put a big sign in his window the next day, and it says, "We fix $6 haircuts."
Right, that's great. That's perfect.
So there is that fine line, and we talked about the budget, but you also want to make sure that you're getting something of quality, because there too, if people think, oh, it's just a solo operation, those are, again, some of the perceptions that can make it more difficult for a company to scale, because they're not perceived as having the foundation that can really support their business.
Right, and that's really a good point, because for years, one of my most popular speaking topics was, you know, how to look big when you're small. And the number one thing was to invest in good design, graphics, and technology, because nobody has to know that it's you and your cat in Poughkeepsie. You know, we're all
your bunny slippers.
Exactly. And, you know, I think also we know now it's very accepted to have, you know, work in a shared workspace and these drop-in centers, and you're no longer running your business in Starbucks. But, you know, clients and customers don't really care whether you're in your pajamas. They don't want you at a meeting in your pajamas, but but they want talent and quality, and that's where you should put your money and your effort into, is doing the best, obviously the best work possible, but also you know, being able to compete with the big guys.
Right. You know, and you had a really interesting turn of phrase in your book, 201 Great Ideas for Your Small Business. You said that small business owners need to be like plate spinners in the circus. And I just thought that was such a wonderful visual image. Can you talk a little more about that, given your history and background with small business owners?
Well, I know that, you know, when I left my cushy job at the LA Times to start my own company and everyone said I was crazy, I realized I was doing everything myself all the time. And if you've ever seen that act in a circus, you know, the plates are on these tall poles and the plate spinners running from jugglers going from one to the other. And I think that's what it feels like every day. And I think it can be daunting. It's exhausting. And, you know, sort of to go back, the main thing is, you know, you have to first take care of yourself. I think that's really critical because burnout is inevitable. And I'm, really big on urging people to, you know, make sure they do their exercise every day and take a lunch break and just get away from the office and unplug. But just, you know, take care of themselves first, because if you are if you're falling apart, everything else falls apart.
True.
And then really big fan of time management techniques. I mean, I've written a lot about it. I read a lot of time management books and organizational books. And, you know, the bottom line is just priorities. Just every day, get the three most important things done and forget the rest. Because if not, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And, you know, people have to-do lists and all these systems and this and that. But, you know, make yourself do the most important things first. And then the rest of the day will be much more pleasant.
Yeah. I once had somebody say to me, eat, or maybe it was Brian Covey, eat the frog for breakfast. So if you get through those three most difficult or heady or challenging tasks, then the rest of the day can seem a lot easier. But using that circus metaphor, one of the issues I sometimes see with small business owners is that they're so focused on spinning the plates that they never actually become the ringmaster for their business.
Right.
No, so what's involved? I mean, if you have to do the top three things, but frankly, there are 10 things on the list that could stand to get done to really help your business. How do you move out of just the plate spinning into being the ringmaster?
Well, I think it sounds simplistic and silly, but spending some time every day just thinking about your business is really important. Not doing, mm-hmm. just thinking. And then, you know, the challenge of delegating. I mean, having an intern or virtual assistant or just another human, smart human, who can help you do things, right. You know, figure out what can you only do and what can someone else do? So for instance, I mean, I'm working on a proposal for a new client. I'm pretty much the only person that can write that proposal, but my marketing assistant can be busy doing my, you know, Facebook updates or making appointments, you know, so just figure out prioritizing, you know, what can you, the business owner, do after you spend some quiet time thinking about what's important, and then what can you hand off to someone else? And if there is just the cat or the dog, then it's just going to have to wait. Yeah. The other thing, too, is this might sound radical, but I really think not checking your email 27 times a day is really critical.
You nailed me.
Yeah. And I think checking on a schedule is really important, and it will change your life. I mean, it's hard to do. It's addictive to everybody wants to respond. But I think you respond better if you're more thoughtful and not just firing, you know, off random responses. And if you just don't check your email on a schedule, you'll get a lot more work done. And I think you'll write better emails and it'll just make your life a little less crazy. And, you know, unless you're a brain surgeon or, you know, in some breaking news business, life, you know, think about when we used to write letters or faxes,
right,
you know,
right.
It was never everything business at the speed of light. And now people, they just feel like they don't get anything done because they're responding to email all day.
Mm-hmm.
And the emails are not, you know, really sometimes the critical job that needs to be done.
Right, right. Terrific. Well, so any parting pearls, words of wisdom, takeaways for our listeners before we wrap up?
Well, I would say it's, you know, set your ego aside and ask for help is one of my big mottos. And, you know, you can't do everything. You can be a genius salesperson, a fabulous technology person. You can't do it all. And people who try to do it all end up miserable and failing. And then I'd say my last motto, which will probably be on my tombstone somewhere, is that you should never work with anyone who gives you a headache or a stomach ache.
Ooh, you know, that's good.
Life is too short to make yourself miserable. We have walked away from major production contracts because the clients made us nuts, and we just, you know, you walk away from a headache, stomach ache generator, and you end up making space for wonderful clients and customers.
Great. That is great. Great words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay. And last piece, if people want to know more, or where can they find you? How can they contact you?
Well, the easiest thing is to actually just email me directly. I do read email several times a day, if not all day. It's Jane.
But on a schedule.
Yes.
On a schedule.
Morning, noon, and night. No, it's simple, easy ways to email me directly, jane@theapplegategroup.com. Our website is theapplegategroup.com. And my book is on Amazon, 201 Great Ideas for Your Small Business.
Okay, terrific. Jane, thank you so much for being with us today. And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.